Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Wednesday, March 27th. In today's episode, Arvind Kejriwal challenges arrest by probe agency ED in Delhi High Court. Both Mahavikas Aghadi and Mahayuti in knots over seat sharing in Maharashtra. Sonam Wangchuk ends 21-day fast, reveals further protest plan for Ladakh statehood. And Baltimore bridge collapse. First up, the Enforcement Directorate has asked the Delhi High Court for 3 weeks to respond to jailed Chief Minister Arvind Kejriwal's challenge to his arrest by the probe agency in connection with the now-scrapped Delhi excise policy. Mr. Kejriwal's counsel Abhishek Singhvi raised the question of the timing of the arrest, arguing that the arrest of a sitting Chief Minister days before the Lok Sabha election was a politically motivated move. He said, and I quote, "You can't just say by waking up one day that I would like to arrest. I have the power to arrest, I have the desire to arrest, and thus I am arresting," unquote. And questioned if all protocols for arrest under the relevant law were followed. Arguing that Mr. Kejriwal was not given a chance to register his statement, nor was he given a reason for the arrest. He added that the ED has not even recovered any money, yet the Chief Minister is in jail without proof. Mr. Kejriwal has said in his petition that his arrest violated his human rights and that the ED has failed to prove the crime. Quote, "Arrest without interrogation shows that the current action is politically motivated," unquote. He said, demanding immediate release from jail and cancellation of remand. The court then said it would hear the matter later in the day. The hearing was yet to resume at the time of this recording. Mr. Kejriwal's wife Sunita Kejriwal too held a press conference today. She said, and I quote, "They raided us also and found only 73,000 rupees. So where is all this money from the so-called liquor scam? Arvind ji has said he will reveal everything in court tomorrow," unquote. Meanwhile, the Ministry of External Affairs summoned US diplomat Gloria Babena over comments on the case. The US had stated yesterday they want a fair and judicious trial for Mr. Kejriwal. In a statement, the MEA said, and I quote, "We take strong objection to the remarks of the spokesperson of the US State Department about certain legal proceedings in India. In diplomacy, states are expected to be respectful of the sovereignty and internal affairs of others. This responsibility is even more so in case of fellow democracies. It could otherwise end upsetting unhealthy precedents," unquote. Before the USA, Germany had also expressed concerns over the arrest, especially so close to the election. MEA had then said they cannot undermine India's independent judiciary and interfere in our internal matters. Next up, cracks have appeared in the opposition alliance in Maharashtra, Mahavikas Aghadi, after Uddhav Thackeray's Shiv Sena released a list of 17 names for the upcoming Lok Sabha elections, upsetting the state's Congress leadership. Prakash Ambedkar's Vanchit Bahujan Aghadi, which the opposition alliance tried hard to woo, even offering 5 seats, has also severed ties with the MVA, deciding to go solo in the state. Senior Congress leader Sanjay Nirupam has claimed the Uddhav Thackeray-led Shiv Sena is trying to bury Congress in the state. Mr. Nirupam, who was eyeing the Mumbai Northwest seat, slammed Uddhav Thackeray's party for giving the seat to Amol Kirtikar. Mr. Nirupam said, and I quote, "I appeal to the Congress leadership to intervene, otherwise break the alliance with Shiv Sena. If Shiv Sena thinks it can fight alone, then it is making a big mistake," unquote. Mr. Nirupam said Amol Kirtikar's nomination is not acceptable and that he would be keeping his options open for the next week. Mr. Kirtikar has been summoned by the Enforcement Directorate in an alleged khichdi scam, and Mr. Nirupam said he will not work with an alleged thief. Notably, the MVA partners Congress, Shiv Sena UBT and Sharad Pawar's NCP have held many unsuccessful meetings to deliberate on seat sharing for the 48 seats in Maharashtra. Sources reveal some Sena seats announced today were on Congress radar. Congress has finalized 12 names and NCP is yet to disclose its list, with today being the last day to file nominations for the first phase of the Lok Sabha polls. Another senior Congress leader, Balasaheb Thorat, expressed his concerns over disputed seats like Sangli. He claimed if discussions were underway, it was a leader's duty to first resolve the issue and then make any announcement. Quote, "It is still not too late. Shiv Sena can still mull things over," unquote. Responding to Mr. Nirupam's statement, Shiv Sena spokesperson Anand Dubey said in a video message that Mr. Nirupam is angry with his own party because he did not get the Mumbai ticket. So he is taking it out on Shiv Sena in multiple interviews and social media. He added that Congress knew Shiv Sena has a winning record on the seat, So if they wanted that seat, it would have been discussed in earlier meetings about seat sharing. He added, quote, "An investigation doesn't mean someone is corrupt. Look at how ED and agencies operate. And the message that he will wait for 7 days suggests Mr. Nirupam is already in talks with another party," unquote. Meanwhile, addressing conflict rumors within the ruling alliance, Nationalist Congress Party Chief and Deputy Chief Minister Ajit Pawar on Tuesday said that the Mahayuti seat-sharing formula has been almost finalized, and an announcement in this regard will be made on March 28th. Ajit Pawar said there is no confusion among Mahayuti alliance over seat-sharing. Mahayuti comprises Eknath Shinde-led Shiv Sena, BJP and Ajit Pawar's NCP. However, sources suggest that both BJP and Shinde Sena are staking a claim on the Ratnagiri, Sindhudurg seat. And there is conflict between the two on the Nashik seat as well. And next, after surviving on salt and water for 21 days, noted climate activist and education reformer Sonam Wangchuk has ended his hunger strike, demanding statehood for Ladakh. He detailed the plan of action in a video post on X. Quote, "Today is an important day. The first phase has ended, but the hunger strike has not come to a close. After me, women will begin a 10-day fast tomorrow. This will be followed by youth, Buddhist monks. Then it could be women or I could come back. This cycle will go on. As many as 6,000 people from all religions joined me in a 1-day fast," unquote. Mr. Wangchuk, with civil society members of Ladakh, have been protesting against the centre for a few months regarding the 2019 bifurcation of Jammu and Kashmir into two union territories, Jammu and Kashmir and Ladakh. Ladakh saw massive protests earlier this year after leaders of Buddhist-dominated Leh and Muslim-dominated Kargil joined hand under the banners of Apex Body of Leh and the Kargil Democratic Alliance to demand statehood and the safeguarding of rights of its majority tribal population under the 6th schedule of the constitution. They also said statehood is necessary to preserve the fragile Himalayan ecosystem. While the center constituted a high-level committee to look into the demands, a series of meetings with representatives of the protesters failed to find a resolution. On March 4th, leaders from Ladakh met Home Minister Amit Shah and said he had refused to accept their demands. Mr. Wangchuk began his fast in Leh 2 days later. Breaking from breaking news, casual beauty shaming made this young girl in China completely restructure her face. An 18-year-old girl in China has spent nearly $563,000, which is just over 4 crore in rupees, on more than 100 plastic surgeries to look like her favorite actress. According to the South China Morning Post, Zhu Chuna wanted to look like actor Esther Yu. Apart from the facial reconstruction and more than 10 eye-widening procedures, the 18-year-old revealed that the most painful surgery was bone shaving, which lasted 10 hours and confined her to the bed for 15 days. To which she responded, quote, "Am I scared of it? Of course, but I must do it," unquote. It is reported the young teen felt depressed when relatives belittled her for not being like her attractive mother. Now back to news. At least 6 people are missing and presumed dead after a cargo ship crashed into a bridge in Baltimore, USA. The visuals of the accident showed the massive ship, Singapore-flagged vessel Dali, inching closer and closer to Francis Scott Key Bridge, eventually crashing into one of the pillars, and the bridge crashed down like a house of cards. U.S. Secretary of Transport Pete Buttigieg emphasized that this was not an ordinary bridge and was one of the cathedrals of American infrastructure, and added that the path to normalcy will not be easy. The Baltimore Maritime and Port Authority said in a statement, quote, "Ship management company, Synergy Marine Private Limited, reported to MPA that just prior to the incident, the vessel Dali had experienced momentary loss of propulsion," unquote. While all 22 members of the ship were unharmed and accounted for, the 6 missing are repair staff. Part of a construction crew working on repairing potholes on the bridge when it collapsed around midnight on Tuesday. U.S. President Joe Biden praised local authorities as well as the crew members for their prompt action. He said, and I quote, "Personnel on board the ship were able to alert the Maryland Department of Transportation that they had lost control of their vessel, as you all know and have reported. As a result, local authorities were able to close the bridge to traffic before the bridge was stuck, which undoubtedly saved lives," unquote. Meanwhile, the collapse is likely to shut down the port's coal exports for as many as 6 weeks and block the transport of up to 2.5 million tons of coal, said Ernie Thrasher, chief executive officer of Xcoal Energy and Resources LLC. Though this will impact the supply chain, the bridge collapse will have little effect on global prices, as Baltimore ships less than 2% of global seaborne coal. Thrasher added that the coal that moves out of Baltimore includes a lot of India-bound thermal coal, which is used for electricity generation. And lastly, Thailand may become the first South Asian country to legalize same-sex marriage. A bill endorsing recognition of same-sex marriages passed through the lower house of the country, with 400 of 415 lawmakers present in favor. It still needs approval from the Senate and royal endorsement to become a law. According to the BBC, it is widely expected to happen by the end of 2024, making Thailand the only Southeast Asian country to recognize same-sex unions. The bill describes marriages as partnership between two individuals instead of between a man and a woman, and it will give LGBTQ plus couples equal rights to get marital tax savings, to inherit property, and to give medical treatment consent for partners who are incapacitated. Thailand already has laws that ban discrimination over gender identity as well as sexual orientation, and is largely seen as one of Asia's most LGBTQ plus friendly nations. That's all for today. You were listening to the news with NDTV, your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to the news with NDTV on Apple, Spotify and the NDTV News app. This is your host Anviti, signing off.